1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verses marked 1 through chapter 14 and verse 1. This is the words of the Apostle Paul. He says this, "And now I show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have faith that can move mountains, but I have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they'll be stilled. Where there's knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I reasoned like a child. I thought like a child. But when I became a man, when I became an adult, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection, then we shall see face to face. Now we know in part, now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we are so thankful to be in your presence today. We're so thankful to hear what you want to say to us. And I pray, Jesus, that today that you would come and be our teacher. We know that the Holy Spirit is the one that teaches the church. So would you remind every person here today that even though I am the speaker, I'm really not the teacher. I am simply a vessel through whom the Holy Spirit can hopefully talk today. And so we pray that the same Holy Spirit that inspired these words to the Apostle Paul so long ago would be the same Holy Spirit that would come and would talk to every person here in this room. And we pray this day that you will help every person to follow the way of love. You have said in your word that a new commandment I give you, love one another, that all people will know that you, that we are your disciples if we love. So would you help this church in all of its heart and all of its development, help it to always stay focused on the most important thing, which is having a heart of love. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we offer all of our prayers, and all of God's people said, amen. You can be seated. You know, Paul said, whenever he came to young Timothy, and he was writing to Timothy, he said, "Timothy, until I come, give yourself to the public reading of Scripture." So, in church, one of the things I think is really helpful for us to do is to publicly do what the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, which is to publicly read the Scripture. And one of the great things is that we now have PowerPoint, so we can actually read the Scripture out loud. So would you read this with me out loud? These are actually not my words. These are the words of Jesus. And this was the night before he went to the cross. And this is the one thing that he said was more important than everything else in the Bible. So would you read this with me out loud? Let's just start right up here. Let's read it out loud together. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give you, love one another. All men will know you are my disciples by the way that you love. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 31 says this. Paul writes, but eagerly desire the greater gifts, and now I will show you the most excellent way. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1 says this, follow the way of love. Another translation from the Living Bible puts it like this, make love your greatest aim. So let me ask a question this morning. How would you complete this sentence? My aim in life is. What phrase or what word would you use? My aim in life. Now, some would say, well, my aim in life is success. Or my aim in life is happiness. Or my aim in life is security. Or my aim in life is recognition. Or my aim in life is fun. My aim in life is to be well known. Or my aim in life is to have approval. What is our life aim? Now you see, how you answer that question is going to determine our dominant life principle. Because everybody develops one key aim in life, whether we're aware of it or not. Our dominant life principle is what we consciously or unconsciously every day refer to with the multiple choices that we are confronted with. So let me give you an example. For instance, if our dominant life principle is to have fun, then if we have two choices of what to do in an evening, we're always going to choose the one that is the most fun. If our dominant life principle is security, then we're always going to make the choice for what is the most safe or it is the less risky. If our dominant life principle is comfort, then we're always going to do the thing that is the easiest. That's the most convenient. If our dominant life principle is to be recognized, then we'll choose those things where people will notice us. Every one of us, every person in this room today, consciously or unconsciously, has a dominant life principle. And even the secular world knows this. Anybody ever heard of a book that was written a number of years ago called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People? Anybody ever heard of that book? Okay. In that book, Stephen Covey, the author of it, calls this dominant life principle a person's life center. And he wasn't even an evangelical Christian. You may be saying, well, Dr. McCain, what does God say our life center should be? What does God say our life aim should be for us who are not just Christians, but who are holiness Christians? 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1 says this. Would you read this with me out loud? Read this part right here. Let's start right here. Make love your greatest aim. Make love your greatest aim. The Bible here. In fact, Jesus actually taught this. Whenever he was asked what the greatest commandment was, Jesus said, "Love God with all of your heart and love your neighbor as yourself." And the church has taught that we ought to make love our greatest aim. It's all about our love. So let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 13 this morning. And I want to take a look at this very famous passage. And I want to take a look at why the Bible says that love is the most important value, should be the most important value in our lives. First of all, let's look at the priority of love. Five reasons why the Bible says love is the most important value. The first reason why love is the most important value in life is this, and that is because, number one, without love, all that I say is ineffective. 1 Corinthians 13 says this. Would you read this with me out loud? Let's read it out loud together. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Now, God says here that words without love are empty. They're just noise. Words without love are nothing. They're ineffective. And the Corinthians were really caught up with speaking in tongues. They were proud of their spiritual eloquence. They said, we can speak in the tongues of men. We can speak in the tongues of angels. But Paul came along, inspired by God, and said, you're majoring on the minors because talking in tongues is nothing compared to love. God says, without love, all that I say is ineffective. And then number two, without love, all that I know is incomplete. Look at verse 2 of 1 Corinthians. Paul goes on to say, if I have the gift of prophecy, if I have the gift of prophecy and I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, but I have not love, I am nothing. You know, we can have a college degree. We can have a master's degree. We can have a doctor's degree. But God says all of that does not matter. He says without love permeating, we're nothing. You know, we can be a genius. We can memorize and quote hundreds of Bible verses. But God says when you stack all of that stuff up, by itself, it doesn't matter. Why? Look at what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians. What the Bible says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1, it says this, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. That's why God says, number two, without love, all that I know is incomplete. And then look with me at what the Bible says in number three. The third reason why love is the most important value in life according to the Bible is because, number three, without love, all my faith is insufficient. Look at the second part of 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2. Paul writes, if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. You know, God says it doesn't matter how strong our faith is, how powerful our belief is, if we don't have love permeating it, it doesn't matter. So the issue is not just the strength of our faith, but the practice of our love. Do we love Jesus? Have we embraced the fact that Jesus loves us? Are we committed to loving every person that God puts in our pathway in Jesus' name, including the difficult people to love? Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, Paul writes this. He says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Paul says faith is important, but faith is nothing without love being expressed. Now, the fourth reason why love is the most important, God says, without love, number four, all that I give is insignificant. All that I give is insignificant. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 3. Paul writes, if I give all that I possess to the poor, but have not love, I gain nothing. This says to me, you know, you can give everything you've got. You can not only tithe, you can double tithe, you can triple tithe, and you can still not have love. Why? Because people give for all kinds of motives. And people do. Did you know that some people give for prestige? Some people can give for recognition. Do you know that some people out in the world give for power? They give for influence. Did you know that people give to political parties so that they can control? People give so they can control entire governments. So what is God saying here? He's saying that just because you give doesn't mean you love. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. The Bible declares without love, all that I give is insignificant. And then the fifth reason why God says that love is the most important value in life is because, number five, without love, all that I accomplish is inadequate. All that I accomplish is inadequate. Look at this. This is a powerful passage in 1 Corinthians. This is from the Living Bible. If I were burned alive for preaching the gospel, but I didn't love others, it would be of no value whatsoever. In other words, God says, we can rack up all kinds of impressive achievements. We can succeed at all kinds of great accomplishments. We can even sacrifice our lives for the greatest cause in the world. But if we don't nurture and have a spirit of love, that God says we have missed the most important thing. You see, the point that God makes is this, 1 Corinthians 13, is that in life, relationships are more important than accomplishments. I want you to think about that. Relationships are more important than accomplishments. God is saying here in this passage that I can have the eloquence of an orator, I can have the knowledge of a genius, I can have the faith of a miracle worker, I can have the generosity of a philanthropist, and I can have the dedication of a martyr. But if I don't practice Christ-like love with the people that know me, none of it counts. As holiness Christians, the ultimate aim is loving other people like Jesus loves us. There's nothing more important in life than love. It's all about our motive to cultivate a holiness heart that is filled with love. And for the last 110 years, the message of the Chicago Central District and the message of this church for generations has been, we are called to love other people. We're just called to love people. Now look at what Paul says about this. Paul says, love is patient. This is what he says. This is how he describes it. Love is patient. It is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. This love is not easily angered. Ooh, man. I have to keep working on that one. Anybody else need to join me on this one? It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. You know, the kind of love that we are called to live out, the Bible says, rejoices with the truth. This kind of love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. This kind of love, the Bible says, never fails. And every time that I read these words from Paul, I'm convicted of the Holy Spirit because there are times in my life that I'm not as loving as I want to be or as I need to be. That's why I need the Holy Spirit to baptize me afresh, to refresh my spirit with cleansing and forgiving and refreshing love, because I want to learn better how to love people. I hope you do too. I know that every person in this church does. Every one of us wants to learn how to love better. Love is an action. It's not something we feel. It's not something we say. Love is something we do. You know, one of the great black preachers in America was Dr. E.V. Hill. He pastored Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church in Los Angeles, California for 42 years. Died in 2003 of pneumonia. Was a tremendous intellectual giant. He was a great man of integrity. Wasn't afraid to call sin, sin. He was so influential that people in Los Angeles that were of the crime, he called them out, confronted sin, talked about the way the city needed to be cleaned up, and the mob decided they were going to try to kill him. He had a national reputation, death threats on numerous occasions. One time on a Sunday morning, he confronted sin in the city. There was a call that came into him that said, you know, this week we're going to get you. We're going to take you out. This is going to be the week you die. He took it very seriously. And that week, one day, he was dropped off at home and he noticed that his car was gone. He immediately thought maybe somebody had stolen it or somebody had tampered with it or they put a bomb in it. And about 20 minutes later, his wife drove up in his car. He was so worried and he said, "What are you doing?" And she was well aware of the threat. And her response to him was this. She said, "You know, honey, I got to thinking. This community needs you more than it needs me. And if they were going to rig the car to be bombed, I wanted me to be in it, not you." E.V. Hill said, "You know, I knew at that moment, I knew that my wife loved me. But that moment, her love took a whole nother level. Love is more than what we say. Love is what we do. It's an action. And this is what Paul says. Paul says that loving is life's greatest aim. We need to make loving other people our aim. First, because it's our priority. Secondly, because this is our practice. But here's the last reason why love is life's greatest aim. It's because of its permanence. God says it's the only thing that's going to last. Love is eternal. It's going to stay with you. Every other life principle is temporary. Did you know that everything is temporary except love? You live for fun? How long does that last? You live for money? How long does it last? You live for pleasure? How long does it last? You live for security? How long does that last? You live for the approval of other people? All of that is temporary. No other life principle we choose to base our lives on, God says, is going to last. Nothing will last forever except love. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13 from the Phillips translation puts it like this. In this life, we have three lasting qualities: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of them is love. You know what I think heaven is going to be like? Heaven is going to be like 100, it's going to be like 100% all of the time love extravaganza. We are going to feel loved and we are going to feel prized and cared for 100% of the time, because the Bible says this. The Bible says that God is love. The Bible doesn't say that God has love. The Bible says that God is love. It's the only thing that's going to last. Christ-like love, God's perfect love that's shed abroad in a person's heart by the Holy Spirit. It's the only thing that will last forever. It's permanent. So this is how Jesus put it. Jesus said, a new commandment I want to give you. Love one another. As I've loved you, you must love one another. All men will know that you're my disciples by the way you choose to love. I want to tell you, if you really live this kind of sacrificial love and you begin to spill this love out to neighbors, you spill this love out to friends, you spill this love out in your community, you as a local church begin to love the people that Jesus puts in your pathway, you open the doors of this church and you welcome every person that God will send to this church. I want to tell you how excited I was to be able to come here and realize that that we have Cindy and we have Tammy that are visiting the church. We have Jeff and Jody that have started coming to the church. I want to tell you, there's 50 or 100 new people that are not a part of this church now. If they simply knew we were here, the place would be full. Because of the quality of love, the world desperately needs a place where people will be loved. Jesus said, a new commandment I want to give you. Keep loving. Keep loving. All people will know you're my disciples by the quality of your love. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, there's a lot of things that can characterize a church. Some churches are characterized by all kinds of different things. I want to thank you that for over 100 years, the Church of the Nazarene has always focused on the majors. It has said the most important thing is to love God with all of our heart and to love our neighbors like ourselves. I thank you that that has been put into the core of this church, and for so many decades, this church has sent out, because it's loved, it sent out missionaries, it has sent out pastors, it has sent out evangelists, it sent out general superintendents. This church has blessed the world in so many ways. And I pray that in this next chapter of the church's life that you'll give her wisdom and insight. And I pray that the same quality of Christ-like love that's carried the church in the past would even increase and multiply as this church loves the people from the community that you put it in front of. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we offer all of our prayers. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen.
Let's all stand.